Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad that you're with us here. I just want to remind everybody that we're in the studio for longer than this program. We've got a couple more after this. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. I'm thrilled to have Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard right here.
Hi, Steve.
Always good to be here.
Glad to be here.
Well, you guys are two of the best, and I'll tell you, when somebody calls, they can trust that they're going to get the truth, they're going to get wisdom, and you're not just making it up.
You think he says that to everybody?
I don't know.
No, I don't. You're not just making it up as you go along, which sometimes can happen in lesser programs. Anyway, we're glad everybody is here today, and we are, once again, this is Take Your Life Back Tuesday, and there's all sorts of social media free things that you can view on Facebook and Pinterest and Instagram and all these other places where you can find us. So sign up and subscribe. We would love to be engaging with you in that way. Take Your Life Back is the book that we use for the workshop, Take Your Life Back, and that's March the 10th in Dallas. Dave and I are doing that together. Dave, tell them a little bit about one of the presentations that you do in such a way that they could not help but want to come join us.
That's a big order.
Dance.
Well, I think one of the fascinating things has to do with the difference between the reactive life and the responsive life. And we use the parable of the prodigal son as an illustration of it, and we focus more on the elder brother as an example of somebody who's living a reactive life and thinks he's doing it the right way and is getting all the wrong results from it. And I think that's a lot of the people that will be there are identify more with the elder brother than with the acting out of the prodigal. The elder brother acts in, and I think that's an important distinction.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is true. We're going to talk about acting out and acting in. We're going to talk about reflective life, where you look back and learn something about your life. We're talking about the reactive life, and what we're looking for is the responsive life. You never, ever arrive on this earth. But the journey really is what it's all about. And how sad if your journey is headed in the wrong direction with the wrong motivation. And we'll help you with that if you'll come and join us. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, I'm going to go to somebody right now, Nicole from Tampa, Florida, listening on Pandora. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
My question is this, and I hope I can clarify and be concise. My husband and I of 18 years, it recently came to a head within the last 2 years, some long-standing issues with kind of emotional intimacy and pornography, and it snowballed during these 2 years of counseling and separation into a lot more trust issues, prostitution issues, online dating issues, a lot of issues. It seemed like when, you know, they always say, you know, your faith and things, when they're you're back against the wall, you kind of see your true colors, and that was exactly what happened here. And I am currently living with my sons. They do visit their father regularly. They are 13 and almost 16, quite young men now, and I do try to be that spiritual leader in our home. I have seen a lot of counselors over the last 2 years, all faith-based, and they have given me all excellent advice, both which seem very biblical, both which seem to make a lot of sense. The problem is they're very conflicting. And here's the conflict. I have on one side people saying, protect your children. It's still their father. You need to never say anything negative about them because that's their father.
Yeah.
And then I
okay.
have another side, which is...
Hold on. We'll be back.
The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Dallas March 10th through the 12th.
This weekend has been a chance to honestly share my feelings and to begin ownership of them, whether they're positive or negative. I learned how to stand up for myself. I experienced positive feelings that I hadn't experienced before.
Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
This weekend has been just the beginning of taking my life back. I leave with a renewed power to trust in God on a daily basis, a commitment to move forward in my recovery by continually taking my life back.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
If you really want to take your life back, then I would highly recommend it.
Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop. He is the author with his wife Jan of the great book Smart Love. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. As I said earlier, it is Take Your Life Back Tuesday tomorrow. Didn't I say that? Or did I say today? Okay, so it's tomorrow. Today is Make the Most of It on Monday.
No, I thought it was about the...
Your new book.
It's Mediterranean Love Plan Monday. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mediterranean Passion Monday was what
okay.
I was going
to
say.
All right. Well, let's go back to Nicole. So, Nicole, your husband's been unfaithful, horrifically unfaithful. Some people say, tell your kids. Others say what?
Others are saying to protect them from all of that, and some are saying that, you know, they deserve to at least have some truth, not be, you know,
well,
taking the little bits of evidence that they see and trying to come to their own conclusion, as kids would do, that they deserve an honest answer, especially as young men who, you know, I want them to lead godly young, you know, be godly young men and know the difference between right and wrong.
Well, okay, and how old are they again? How old are these kids?
13 and 16.
They are 13 and almost 16.
Okay.
I'm wondering why somebody would encourage you to lie to them.
Yeah, I don't know how that builds trust.
Because at some point they're going to find out the truth, and then they're going to be concerned as to why you lied to them. So I would dismiss that advice completely because it's not based on honesty and truth. And it has terrible consequences down the road.
But I think it's something that's been perpetuated just over time, that you always, you know, keep this good front up. You never want to say anything bad. Yes, you don't want to, you know, deliberately trash the other parent. At the same time, you want your sons to be based in reality. And so it's always good to start with, what do they think's going on? What do they know?
Right.
Find out what they think about the situation, and then you can fill in the gaps for them in a way that just gives them enough information that they kind of get the picture. Right? You don't have to go into all the details.
And this has been going on for the last 2 years, so they have. Of course, they've noticed things, they've uncovered things themselves. You know, they even confronted me with, why was I on dating sites or why was I on such and such sites? And I said, honey, I wasn't. You know, because they see the computer history.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go with that. I would say we're going to get a divorce. Now you've asked me about dating sites and. And I said, no, that's not me. Well, it was your dad. And he really had a hard time keeping his commitment to me for whatever reason. And so it's just best if we not stay married. And he, you know, is on his own and not with me. Well, you don't have to talk about affairs, prostitutes, or anything like that.
Right.
No.
Okay.
But then, if they ask questions, you answer the questions honestly, but not in great detail. But you respond to them in truth. But you don't say, and your dad is an evil man and blah, blah,
right,
blah.
That's
what people are trying to help you avoid, and you know that. So it's not that. That's not really the issue. The issue is how honest are you?
And mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would just say for everybody else, there are some kids that are 16 that are very fragile, and maybe it's best not to fully disclose the unfaithfulness at 16,
right,
even. But maybe it's going to be at 17 or 18. It depends on the child, what they're asking, what they're focused on.
The 13-year-old could be able to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so, some kids don't want to know. Other kids need to know.
Mm-hmm. Be sure it's not you wanting him to look like the bad guy and you the good guy.
Right. It's in the service of helping your boys, not you venting and airing your anger. Right. And so to make that distinction. I think another thing that's important to remember is that kids, you know, not only learn from our good examples, they learn from our bad examples too.
Right.
And while you have two boys, you know, it's kind of at an age where boys, you know, start to push away from mom more and need to identify with dad. But they can learn from his bad example, too. And that's another reason why the truth is important, so that they can start to distinguish and make choices for themselves. And then it's important for them to have other male role models in their lives, you know, whether it be a youth pastor or grandfathers or uncles or friends.
Right. Okay. That does help. I just had such conflicting information. And
it
I saw both
confusing.
Sides. The positive and negative of both, but I see what you're saying.
But the bottom line is you don't want to ever lie. You don't have to tell everything, but everything you tell has to be the truth. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right.
Well,
depends on
absolutely.
The kids.
That's a good summary.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad you called. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, because I think you could benefit from that.
Why
Dave,
take
you
her, every
it.
Young man's battle
oh, yeah.
as,
that
a,
would be
as
good.
A resource that the boys could read.
All right. I'll send that off
Thank
to you.
You
also. Yeah. Dave, you are just Mr. Bibliotech
Mr.
here.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I just want to give away books.
Yeah, all right. Well, how about we go over here and we talk to Dave from Midland, Texas. Been there many times, Dave. I threw up there on my aunt's carpet. And how you doing? Good to talk to you. What's going on?
I'm bouncing along. I drive trucks, so... I'm going to try to make this as short and painless as possible, but I have a unique situation where I have an ability to, apparently I'm able to attract all the females, not all the females, but a majority of the females that are very important in my life that don't ever do anything wrong, and they're very... Well, they're right, and for the most part, I'm wrong. So I would just like to find out, how do I break this unique situation or this unique talent that I have?
You find some
it's
bad
quite,
women.
It's
that's
quite
what,
a gift, huh?
You have a good taste.
So what is the specific question? Is it... I mean, just ask us a very specific question that we might be able to help you with.
I was hoping I could do this without getting into a whole bunch of stuff. I've had issues with a mother and sister and then former girlfriend when it come to religious things, to where it was amazing how the Bible, they were always in what the Bible said, but it never made sense when I read the Bible myself. Other people were very in tune to how they could make it so that what they wanted was always right, and if I was generating a problem, I was wrong. And the main person that brings up this is a ex-wife who... Actually, when we split 10 years ago, as she put it, she was the perfect wife, and I was the perfect something that I'm not supposed to say on the radio.
Okay.
So, therefore, as they have all told me, how they were always right, and a majority of the time I was always wrong. I would like to be able to get some discernment. How do I kind of sift these people out before I get so involved with them?
Well, I think that the answer is to develop relationships with men, and who will give you some perspective. And I don't know how many men you have in your life that you trust and who have you have a friendship with. But we as men need to have, we learn to be men from other men, and that means we've got to have men in our lives.
So
and
then you pick better women.
I think that's one of the consequences. Of
yeah,
that.
I think
yeah.
so too.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, that's greatly appreciated. But I say but I don't mean but in the sense of contrary. it was just when my father passed away in 2001, I lost somebody who was a very important man in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My second brother, the two of them that were in Vietnam, he just passed away in September.
Wow.
And I could really talk to him, but his wife was one of those people that I was referring to as having this other situation with. However, I am, when I'm not driving, because I drive truck for a living, and I can get home, there is a men's Bible study and two or three men there that I have phone numbers for. I can call them up day or night. Every once in a while, they check on me. And I mean, I'm seeing growth in my life. However, when I listened to your show on Valentine's Day, there was a caller that it was like, whoa, wait a minute, maybe I'm not quite bringing this all around. So I'm asking the question, help.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, and so I'm wondering, is it that you really do just attract overbearing women, right, who need you to be wrong so that they can feel like they're always right? Or is there something, if you've had, you know, if this keeps repeating, is there something to learn from this? Do they keep saying the same things in more specifics to you? And, you know, and you're not quite getting it yet? Because sometimes we have something to learn about ourselves, and sometimes, you know, it is the people we attract, but it's often a combination of those things, because you tend to attract someone kind of at the level of where you're at. And whatever blind spots and things you need to resolve, you know, you attract people right there. So one of the things is to take some of the blinders off and at least run it through your filter of, are they right about some things about me that I need to look at and work on and change?
Well, as far as the specifics that has been mentioned to me recently, a lot of that was issues that I don't want to say I've totally conquered, but mm-hmm. have been issues way back in history. You know, I mean, I'm a guy. I struggle. I drive truck. It's not an easy life. You know, but a lot of that was where something small had been taken and greatly exaggerated. But as far as everything else, it's been a generalization.
Well, let me give you some encouragement here. The first thing that you must never do, if you find yourself dating somebody and getting attached to somebody that's unhealthy, is you must never, ever get intimately sexual with that person. And especially not you. I mean, it's never right, but especially not you, because that eradicates your reasoning, your judgment, your wisdom. And it's all about the sex and the sexual attraction and all of that. So that's number one. You must not do that. Secondly, you must never, ever date somebody that doesn't have friends. You need to know those friends and their boyfriends and their husbands, whatever it is. And if you've got somebody that's detached, there might be a reason they don't have someone to date, and there's a reason they don't have any friends. Is there one of these people you don't want to spend your life with or time with? So those are two things, really. One is a no, don't have sex, and the other is a do. Be sure they're in a healthy community. And if they're not, you are wasting your time. You're repeating history. And when Dave says, get yourself involved with men, there, I mean, we are a broken record on this. You must be with men.
Let me expand on that. I would make weekly calls with those guys that you have their numbers. And I would just have a weekly call to check in and update.
Good point.
And the other thing that I would add to the 2.5 or 3 that Steve did was when somebody tells you you're wrong, your first thought needs to be, I wonder what is the purpose for them thinking that I am wrong? Why do they need me to be wrong?
Start at
that point as you analyze the situation. Don't start at what did I do now?
Right.
But why do they need me to be wrong?
Yeah. See, I told everybody you were wise.
I think you guys just turned on a light bulb.
Okay, hey, I'm going to send you this dating book that I particularly like. It's called Is This the One? I hope you're going to like it. It'll help you. We'll be back after this for more New Life Live.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
That's right. We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Listen to this. Here's a clip from Marijuana Danger on TV.NewLife.com.
I see the danger with marijuana is that it doesn't do the overhaul system impact that, like, heroin, meth, like you said, Xanax, a benzodiazepine does. But it alters it slowly and incrementally. But over a long period of time, there are very devastating consequences. I've just seen so many people in my office that have smoked marijuana for such a long period of time that their motivation centers aren't there.
That's right.
So they have a very difficult time following through with very basic responsibilities in life. They also have a very difficult time enjoying life because they have deadened their emotional senses.
That's right.
Yeah. And so, like, just the ability to find pleasure in the simplest of things, even food, tends to diminish and go. And they have a very low tolerance for the difficulties of life.
All right. I'll tell you, there's nothing we have found any good about marijuana. zero, zip, nothing. Well, don't listen. It's horrible.
You can add to what he said that if you start as in adolescence, it lowers your IQ as well.
That's right.
And that nothing much changes a person's IQ, but smoking pot will.
Yeah. And if you're like me, you need all the IQ you can get. So don't do it. Anyway, that's just one of the clips on TV.NewLife.com. Hey, your kid's not going to read a book about marijuana, but you could sit down and say, hey, watch this little five-minute video with me on marijuana, and it could change everything. Kids do listen. They do care what you have to say about everything. All right, let's go back to the phones, and let us talk to Stephanie from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Hello. How are you guys today?
Good.
Great. How could we help you?
I have an issue with forgiveness.
Okay.
A certain party said some hurtful things to me, and I have a hard time forgiving this person.
Okay. They said some things, and it's hard for you to forgive what they said. Did they say things that were true or not true or about your character or things you did? Or what did they say?
Hurtful things.
What's that?
They were hurtful things.
Okay.
Do they do this often?
It's been a lot lately.
Well, you know, I'm glad you called because the three of us, I've been forgiven a lot of things, and both Dave and Jill have written books on forgiveness. So you just couldn't ask for a better group of people here to help you with it. What do you guys think? How do you forgive somebody that's said some things that are hurtful and you just can't get them out of your head?
Well, it's hard to forgive something that's ongoing because basically, if you're trying to forgive something and it keeps on happening, you end up merely excusing the behavior. You've got to find some way to avoid that situation, to put a stop to it by saying something, some way that you get out of it. You what?
I have tried to tell this person.
Well, then
I
would just avoid that person then. But,
well, and is this someone you can avoid? Is this someone you're
in? No, I can't because I live with this person.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you live with this person and they say hurtful things to you. And are they aware? Like you said, you've said something to them. So they're aware that this is hurtful to you?
They're aware of it.
Okay. Okay.
They're aware of it.
And
I had to confess also, I have said hurtful things also. But after they said it to me first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, do you get out of the house very much, or are you kind of stuck there at home?
No, I get outside. I work during the day, and then I go to different activities.
Okay. Do you go to a church?
Yes.
I think I go to
Bethel Baptist.
Okay. I just wonder. I just wonder if the two of you, and you could call the pastor and you could say, we've said some hurtful things to each other and we live together. And I'm just wondering if you could talk to us and help us forgive each other and commit to not do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if that might be something you could do that would really...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Jill, you guys have any thoughts?
Because over time, I think, you know, with these repeated hurtful things, there's resentment that's built up. And so hurtful comments.
I feel it right now.
Yeah.
I feel resentment. And it's like I was told I had an attitude and everything else. And like.
Okay.
So, I forgave this person a while ago when they. You know, did it a while ago. We forgave each other.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's happening frequently.
So that's where sometimes you have to look at what's the root of this resentfulness. Mm-hmm. You know, how is the other person feeling? And you have to be willing to hear their comments and have an honest discussion about why this keeps happening. What's the root of this stuff that keeps leaking out.
I asked her to go to a session with me, and she said it's not necessary.
Oh, dear. Well, I hope you get some kind of breakthrough.
Yes, do that.
Talk to the pastor and try to get in together. That would be the best.
Yeah, that would be really good. Okay, we'll take a break. Come right back after this. I'm going to send her how to take your life back. Because I think you don't have to have these things still stay stuck in your head. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, "Hey, honey, watch this with me." And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip, and that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribed to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem. And it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at TV.NewLife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of TV.NewLife.com.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Okay, we're back. Don't forget, we're in the studio another couple hours at 1-800-229-3000. You know what's amazing is when we are in conflict, well, a third party can sure help. Mm-hmm. We just oftentimes, you know, we wonder, well, why is it so tough? Well, you know, we're not just in conflict with the person. We have all of these evil forces of darkness that are fighting against us and fighting in the heavenlies. And it's amazing how much we have going against us, trying to force us into failure. And you just can't outpower it alone and overpower it. Get some help. Talk to a counselor, a pastor. Have a friend that's wise. Maybe they've been in recovery for a long, long time. Get some help. Don't try to do it on your own. By the way, I hope and pray that you might look at the things that I did at Northview Church, the series on Take Your Life Back, 4 sermons at northviewchurch.us. I think you'll like them. I'm a much better preacher than I am radio host. So, well, anyway, you can decide that if you just check it out. All right.
That's just saying a lot then, because you're a great radio host.
Yeah, you must be really good.
I'm just kidding. All right, let's go to Sandra from San Francisco, California, listening on Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hi.
Hi. Hi, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. What's going on?
I have a son who has reactive attachment disorder. Have you guys heard
reactive?
Of that?
Yep. Okay. Sure. Reactive attachment disorder. Now, have you had this son from birth?
Yes, he's adopted at birth, but he didn't show signs of that. But he went through a real horrible trauma at 4.5, and I understand you can get RAD up to that. But it was a real bad divorce, and where my ex had
claimed that I was going to hurt the kids, and he took them away from me from a judge in a small town.
Mm.
And then by the time they evaluated everything, and it took like 8 months to get my kids back, the damage was done. I mean, they realized that, you know, my ex was playing a game, was trying to hurt me, but who got hurt was the kids.
Yeah. Wow.
My son now is 16, and he is clearly not right through all of these years. He was a different kid when I got him back. And, I mean, very serious problems. And I can go through some of them if you want some of the symptoms, but I honestly don't know what to do. And now my ex, you know, had lived with him for 2 years just recently, and then said, because all along he kept saying I wasn't disciplining him right and whatever. But so he took him for a summer and then ended up saying that it was, that he was going to keep him, but then ended up saying there was no way he could handle him. And now he doesn't want anything to do with
him. Okay, so what is the question for us?
My question is I don't know what to do. I have him back in my home, and his behaviors are starting again. You go through a month honeymoon, and then once that month is over, the behaviors start again, and it's very serious. And I honestly don't know what to do, if I'm the right person to raise him, or what kind of help is out there, because there's not a whole lot of help for kids with reactive attachment disorder. You know, and I'm sure there's so many other things, too, the oppositional defiance, the ADHD he's been diagnosed with, you know, and post-traumatic stress. And so,
you're from San Francisco, and a very progressive area with a lot of professionals who, I mean, if any place would have a specialist for your son, it seems like it would be there. But maybe Jill or Dave have some hints for you on how to make it the least disruptive and have the most connection with your son.
Well, I wouldn't start.
I'm from a small town. I'm not from California. I said that. Yeah, I was going to say.
All right, I get it. Okay. Well, that's all right. We get that. Okay.
I would.
Okay. Could you move to San Francisco?
Yeah.
Could you move? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah,
I'm just joking.
I'm talking to you, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
No, I would deal with the trauma and because I think that's what's aggravating the attachment disorder, because he's rejected by his father several times, and the trauma of living with his father. That's what I would get help with, that, because until you clear that up, you don't really know what else is at work. That's what I would.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to do some research. I have worked with people with these types of kids, and it takes a lot of work and never getting up. And it also takes really setting some strong boundaries. Sometimes they can't live in the home with you. Sometimes they need to be in a treatment center. But definitely working with someone who understands it and gets the deceitfulness of it. But to be able to stay in relationship, it's like you have to be safe. So to the degree that you're not safe, you're going to have a hard time with it. So the goal is to keep everybody safe, and then with those boundaries in place, have relationship within limits. And I've seen some good success with kids that were really severely abused. And it's that consistency, and it's a lifelong, kind of having to deal with that and never letting the boundaries down.
Some of this can even begin in utero because of the rejection by the mother.
For some kids,
birth parent.
And then the experiences reinforce that.
Yeah, and then there's a genetic aspect as well that you don't know anything about.
Right.
Sure.
So
he has very serious behaviors on all areas. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. And I honestly thought, you know, he just needs Christ and, you know, my love and commitment to him, and everything's going to work out. And it's not. It's ripping up my home with my new marriage, you know.
Yeah.
And so
you can't let him destroy everybody around you, right?
Now,
so for his own protection, too.
You said the new marriage?
Yeah, I've been married for 8 years now. And so, and it's just, this is a
you know, he didn't know what he was getting into. I honestly didn't either.
And so, let me just ask you this. So your husband, not very close to this boy, right?
Your current husband.
New husband.
He just gives, the child is so disrespectful, mm-hmm. and so he hears all of this, you know, just this chaos, and my husband gets very tired of it. They get along. In fact, mm-hmm. My son would much rather be around my husband than around me. Because he gets along with men better. But it's not like, it's a very difficult child for anyone to raise. I mean, anyone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know that we've really helped you much. I just wonder if you went online, and maybe we can do it, if there is a reactive attachment disorder special clinic or one of the psychology schools.
There used to be
specialty.
The attachment center in Colorado.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure.
That you could maybe speak to someone there. Maybe there's some interactive things that they do on the internet with the child. I don't know. But I tell you, I would just spend an afternoon online looking at the thousands of entries there and see if you might uncover something. And I'm sure you've looked at diet. Is that right?
I have him on the cleanest diet you could possibly get on.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought that would change his behavior. But he needs a whole package, and I don't have all those answers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Well, I'm sorry that we can't help you anymore. I'm going to send you the emotional freedom workbook, and I'll send you Every Young Man, God's Young Man. I hope that those could be of help to you in some way. And I ask our folks to pray for you. You know, my wife and I were just talking about how fortunate we've been to have children that have not had major problems like this, and it can just happen. And now you have a whole life of dealing with this, and God entrusts you with these kids, and sometimes, you know, it just is more than you can handle. Pray for these parents who struggle to do a good job with some, you know, what really many times feels like, seems like an impossible situation. But I pray for you right now. I just pray that God would give you strength and perseverance and lead you to some answers. Because somebody knows how to do this well in the worst of circumstances. And maybe they don't know that for every case, but somebody knows it for your case. If you could just find that person, they might have some answers. I would be relentless in my online search for answers, communities, specialists, whatever it is. I think you have to do it. You have to go online and be willing to travel. Maybe the vacation this year is going to a special camp or clinic for a week with this child, hoping to have some good input there. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we'll be back right after this.
Is there something or someone that continues to exert power over your life? Power that overwhelms your best intentions, sabotages your greatest efforts, and frustrates your deepest desires? No formula, set of keys, or steps will help you until you're able to take your life back. The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Dallas March 10th through the 12th. Steve Arterburn will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
On those days when we experience a setback or feel like a failure, we keep moving forward. And when we fall down, we get back up. If we get back up one more time than we fall down, we are doing all that God has asked us to do.
It's time to take your life back. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com. Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest.
particularly my relationship with God. I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We were just discussing this at the break, and Jill had a point, and Dave had a point.
Well, there's a section in Take Your Life Back on radical attachment disorder that affects adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a continuation, yeah, right, from childhood into adulthood, and so there's right. a lot of similarities. And
well, like we compared it. We said, you know, like when it's a child, you look at these videos and they become emotionally withdrawn from their caregiver, either mm-hmm. the parent or the
usually the primary
professional.
Caregivers.
And what does a person with problems do in a marriage? They become emotionally withdrawn mm-hmm. from the people that they're supposed to be loving, and then of course they're inconsistent. You know, they're all needy. One minute, want nothing to do with you. The next, and
unpredictable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, there are just a lot of things in there, and it's in Take Your Life Back. And I hope you'll get a copy of it. Maybe the problem is that the person you're married to is having an adult case of this. But there was right. one other thing we wanted to mention.
Oh, yeah. But with an adolescent, sometimes you have to seek out like a treatment boarding school that deals specifically with these types of things for a longer term place, because these situations can even be lethal. And so you've got to do something that's really strong for this kid, because for a kid to overpower a family, while you might think that they like that and that's what they want, they feel completely out of control because there is no one stronger to curb their behavior. So they really yeah. need that containment.
Mm-hmm. So true. Oh, my goodness. And we pray for any of you that have a child mm-hmm. with this and you're hanging in there with them. You need a lot of support, being yes. a caregiver support group there. If you're on the line, hold on. But right now, we're going to go to our final caller here. And let's go to Debbie from Cincinnati, Ohio. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
Well, not too good.
Really? What's going on?
I'm calling. Long story. I was divorced 16 years ago, and I was married to a narcissist for 20 years. And my son was 11 at the time. And it became a very verbally abusive divorce. It lasted 2 years.
Yeah.
And I suffered clinical depression. I've been diagnosed with major depressive disorder, generalized anxiety disorder, and post-traumatic stress. And I've been going through therapy for the last, I went to counseling for the first 3 years afterwards, and I did real well for about 5 years. Then I had a lot of traumas, and so now my son was 11 at the time, and I had to put him in counseling when he was 16 because he started to become physically abusive towards me. And he did get better.
Okay.
Counseling.
I don't have a lot of time. Is there a question that we could handle for you?
Well, right now, I had a traumatic brain injury 2 years ago.
And what happened there?
A cerebral hematoma. I fell off a riding lawnmower, but I have subdural hematoma and amnesia for 15 hours, and I've never been the same since. I've been going to doctors for about the last 2 years for all different kinds of difficulties, but my situation right now is that I don't know what to do about the depression and anxiety because I am I went off medication 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was on it for 9 years.
Okay.
And I thought I could get off of it.
Yeah.
So I started taking 5-HTP.
Okay. And, now, ask us a question, because I don't have a lot of time left.
Okay.
Is there anything we could specifically answer for you?
Well, I haven't been able to get help with the depression and anxiety and post-traumatic stress. I have a counselor and a psychiatrist.
Okay.
So I have to stay on antidepressants the rest of my life, or I don't know what causes of the depression are from traumatic brain injury or what's from divorce.
It's hard to tease it all out.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna turn it over to Jill and Dave, but I'm going to say you may not need to be on antidepressant medication for life, but you probably need to be on it right now. Dave, Jill, your thoughts.
When you think that you can do without it is probably when you still need it. And because of the brain injury, I would say just what Steve said, don't worry about it for life. Get back on the medications because they were working.
Right, especially if it's changed for you and you've gone off. That's the one thing that is different.
Mm-hmm.
So
So don't be afraid of it. God allowed us to, as humans, to develop these kind of helpful things, and you don't have to be afraid to use them, especially when they've worked for you in the
past. Right, and you need to be at a certain mood level so that you can seek the help. And, you know, reach out to your team, and if it's not working, then you've got to come up with another plan that will work.
Yeah.
You got to keep persevering in that.
You know, I've told this so many times, but there was a pastor in my office who said, I used to preach against antidepressant medication until I couldn't get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
He said, now the only thing that got me back to preaching was the medication that I used to preach against. It's so easy to, and it's shocking how many people think all you got to do is have a little more faith. Don't do that. It's an organ. The brain is an organ. It can malfunction separate from the mind itself. The organ needs some help from time to time.
Especially when there's been an injury.
Mm-hmm.
I want to mention something to you. In the bestseller list of Bibles in April, if you look at the list, you see that there are these wonderful Bibles that you color in, the Inspire and the Beautiful Word Bible. We love those. And then after that, there's a premium Bible that you give to seniors and stuff, and there's a Pew Bible. And then the First Study Bible that's on that list, astonishingly, amazingly, is the Life Recovery Bible. First one, First Adult Study Bible. There's a kid's Bible there, but the First Adult Study Bible. And it is consistently that way. Why? Because the men, the women, all that were involved in this were on a very special mission, and they did a great job. And if you've never looked at that, just because it's got the word recovery on it doesn't mean it's not for you. You can call us right now, and we'll get a copy to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, we've got a life recovery conference coming up. It's going to be a great time for you to kind of have a refreshing connection with some new people. And we're going to be doing that in May in Leesburg, Virginia, May the 20th. And you can find out about it at liferecoverygroups.com. Every Man's Battle is March the 10th in Dallas. And of course, we're doing March the 10th also in Dallas, our Take Your Life Back workshop. We're so excited about Take Your Life Back. We love it. We've done it before. And if you don't have the book, please grab a copy of it. It's going to be fantastic for you. I really believe that. Now, we've got Footsteps of Paul tour to the Mediterranean, October 18th through 27. We're going to Greece. And a great companion to that is the Mediterranean Love Plan. Great companion to it. And you're going to be able to get that in April. But if you want to be on the launch team, well, you just let us know and we'll put you on there. It's going to be fun. All right. Hold on. If you're on the line, we'll get to you. Don't forget, 1-800-229-3000 for the next couple of hours. If you have a problem, there are people on the phone, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's also the number to call if you can support us. And when you do, we send you the book, Smart Love. It's so great. It's about emotionally intelligent relationships. Haven't you been in enough emotionally stupid relationships? This is the change. It turns it around for you. It's everything. So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Support us. Gift of any amount, we'll send that book to you. God bless you. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Dave. Thanks to all of you who watch and listen and pray and support us. We love you. Thank you. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.